Joe Biden is a trash-ass candidate. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Fire You Can't Put Out. My name is Melvin. I want to thank you so much for being here, episode number 304. I suppose we are in the quarantine edition of these shows these days. As I was saying before, Joe Biden is a trash-ass candidate, but it is up to us to make sure that we do not go into the fall with a trash-ass candidate. I'm not going to pretend like this isn't the problem. I'm not going to pretend that we are going into the fall with our best candidate. Now, the Republicans are obviously going into the fall with the schmuck that they feel like is the best candidate, but they obviously have a very different ruler that they measure with than the rest of us. The rest of us use more of a thoughtful or fact-based system, and they tend to not. Actually, it's the things I've seen, especially since the coronavirus has really, really done a number, is just exactly how much of that crowd definitely belongs to a cult, whether they see it or not. They belong to a cult. So what are the problems with Biden? What are the things that we need to fix? What are some of the things that we need to get over? All right, let's start with the get over factor. Okay, I need to get over the fact that once again, this fall has provided us with two old, rich, out-of-touch corporatists. Those are our guys. Those are the candidates. That's who the Republicans picked. That's who the Democrats picked. They picked two old, rich, out-of-touch white guys who don't know which end is up. And we cannot go into the fall feeling like we don't have a choice. So what are some of the things that need to change? Well, obviously, right now, Joe Biden has an awful lot of lobbyists on his side right now. He has an awful lot of corporatists that are dumping money into super PACs in his name. Those super PAC ads are still running on cable news right now. And that really makes him look not much different than Donald Trump. You say, well, but he's not talking about, raping women or whatever the president likes to talk about. Yeah, it doesn't matter. See, this was my problem with Mr. Biden the whole time. People have to feel like there's a difference. You go, well, there's a clear difference because Joe Biden was vice president and doesn't have a problem with Obama. So at the very least, you're going to have somebody who's not blaming all their problems on Obama. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that either. See, because Joe is also pretty good at passing the buck. So first things first, I have to get over the fact that it's two old white guys. Fine. But then Joe has to do this for me. Joe's already doing this to a small degree. The whole healthcare thing, he says, hey, because he realizes, because right away the Bernie people go, you, and by the way, I don't hate the Bernie people. They're right. They're fiery, and they can be cultish at times too, but by and large, they're right. I had a hospital stay about a year and a half ago. I think I talked about it on the show, terrible chest pains. I went to bed one night with just terrible chest pains, and I go, oh, whatever, I'm tough, I'll walk it off. And then I got up, 3:30, before work the next day, 3:30 in the morning, and I couldn't lay right in the bed. I turned and I did this and I did that, and the pain just got worse and worse, and my breathing became more and more shallow. And I go, okay. Holy hell, this is something pretty bad. I finally woke my wife up at about 4:00. I had her take me into the emergency room. Right away, they test to make sure that I'm not having a heart attack. Okay, fine, old boy's not having a heart attack, which means we're just going to let him sit in the waiting room for the next 5 hours while we decide if we want to bring him into the back or not. What I should have done at that point was just left. Just vamos, goodbye. I'm not having a heart attack. Go home. Because my immediate first thought was that I can't afford this. Yes, I had health insurance, but I cannot afford to be here. I'm not having a heart attack. I don't give an F what is in there. I'm going home because I can't afford this. And that's not what I should have been thinking about. It's not what anybody should be thinking about. But I waited. On my wife's urging, I waited. We can't have this be serious. We can't have you die. We can't be without you. You know, you're too young, your whole life ahead of you, so on and so forth. Stay! Okay, I'll stay. They take me in the back. They finally give me a bed. They run a million and one tests. Nothing, 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 nothing. Okay, fine. I must have spent 8-10 hours in the emergency room. You know, and it took several more days for, and they go, well, you don't have anything that seems to be life-threatening. We can't find anything. We believe you, that this, but we can't find it, so go home. It took about, you know, 3, 4, 5 days for the pain to, it dulled each day a little more, and then it eventually went away. And then I got the hospital bill, which was largely covered by my insurance company, but that still left me with straight away $1,000 out of pocket. For what? What did my insurance really do? And then came the surprise billing. 2 months later, 3 months later, 4 months later, I just kept getting these bills. So I got one for the doctor. I'm sorry. There's one for the hospital and one for the doctor's a completely separate thing. And then something that the doctor did or some can of soda they gave me, I got the freaking bill for that. So all said and done, I ended up about $2,000, like just out the freaking door. You know, which means for the next 2 weeks of work aren't even going to count because even though I've got health insurance, all that money has to go to. And I, ladies and gentlemen, I am considered to be one of the lucky ones. Because what happens when you're not so lucky? Imagine this now. When did we get our first case of hospitalization? Now, remember, I received these bills, these surprise bills for several months afterward. So we started seeing serious cases of COVID in February. And then in March, early March, the smart states, the blue states, started shutting everything down. And then the people started overwhelming the hospitals. So what's happening now is the initial people that started going in, just the handful of people, are starting to get those first hospital bills because of their trash-ass American health insurance. They're starting to get those initial bills, which, by the way, if they had to have a 5-day hospital stay or a 7-day hospital stay, if they had to go on a ventilator, if this had to be done, if that had to be done, you know, they're starting to get just that first, not even all the 10 other surprise bills that are going to show up down the road. They're just getting those initial absolute effing ripoffs from their health insurance company. So we're not going to see exactly what this looks like for American health insurance companies until well into the summer, maybe even after summer's over. And then there's this. Tens of millions of people have lost their jobs right now, and by extension, have lost their employer-sponsored health insurance. So now those health insurance companies who already don't want to pay your goddamn bills have fewer people paying in and more money going out. And oh wait, it gets worse. Not only are they losing more people all the time, but some of those people that went in, especially some of the folks that had to go on ventilators, I think the number is somewhere between 70 and 80% of people, if they come in with COVID, if they need a ventilator, they don't come off of the ventilator. So what's going to happen is their survivors, their family members, are going to start receiving bills for their dead relatives, as well as all these surprise bills that'll come 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months afterwards for the dead relatives. God bless America. Over on CNN.com, there is a story about a gentleman in his 70s who had to go onto a ventilator. Laying there in his hospital bed, labored breathing, barely any voice, and the doctor finally turns to him and says, "Sir, we're going to have to put you on a respirator." And the immediate words out of that dying man's mouth were, "Who's going to pay for that?" And the doctor just looks at him. He says, "I'm sorry, I can't afford that. Who's going to pay for that?" he says. He was then fitted with the respirator, and he died. So those were the man's last words. Who's going to pay for it? These are things that we should not have to think about when we are sick, when we are dying, and when we are caring for a loved one, or after we have lost a loved one. So the first thing that needs to change, Mr. Joe Biden, is this dumpy-ass idea of this corporatist health insurance, which A, is not there for us, B, is prohibitively expensive, C, is not available to anybody, and D, has us thinking about not our lives and not our health, but instead in terms of dollars. When I was in that hospital bed feeling like crap, but not dying, just kind of wishing I was dead, I was thinking about the cost. People that are going into the hospital right now, like this gentleman's story over on CNN.com, thinking about the cost. Joe Biden has long been a proponent of the dumpy-ass health insurance that we have in this country, which unfortunately makes him not all that different than one Donald Trump. So the thing that needs to change straight away, Mr. Biden, is you need to come off of it. You need to realize that this system serves nobody but the intensely powerful and the super rich. That's all it has ever helped. And you need to get on the side of Bernie. So as soon as Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race, and I know I came off last week's show with pretty high hopes, as soon as Bernie drops out, Biden says, well, maybe we can talk about health insurance. Maybe we can talk about student debt. No, 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 Mr. Biden, not maybe, now, yesterday, now. One of the things that has been suspended since this whole thing started is there has been a suspension of what people owe in school loans. They say, hey, you don't have to pay, and it won't count against you, you don't have to pay your school debts. Think about how stupid that is. You don't have to pay your school debts for the next six months. It's they don't have to pay them again until like October, I want to say. Yeah, it's a long ass way out. So during that time, the money won't be due, but it will continue to accrue interest, which right now, a lot of the student loan payments are already low enough to where even if you pay on a student loan for years and years, it still never comes down because your minimum payments don't even cover the interest that accrues, or it covers just the interest, and so you can pay for years and never see a reduction. And not only not see a reduction, see it go up and up and up and up. Stop. Tens of millions of people just lost their jobs, already unable to afford the American dream because of the trash-ass way that we pay for not just healthcare, but also for education. Mr. Biden, I don't want to hear about how maybe we can talk about this stuff. Maybe we can consider this stuff. Joe Biden, I need to hear about how we are going to wipe out school debt altogether. If you are a community college, then it's completely subsidized. It's not free, but we use taxes to pay for it. The kids go to the community college for no additional cost. If they want to attend one of their brand name universities, fine, then they can pay all the money that they want for their brand name universities. It's hard to say exactly how all of this will work out, but the way that we pay for school, Mr. Biden, doesn't work. And it's never worked. And it's never going to work. And it's creating unheard of inequality in this country. And yeah, all those kids, they'll get to pay off that school debt next to never, unless this changes. This is only one of two policies. These are two of the most important policies that I see right now that need to be changed. And oh, by the way, Mr. Biden, they needed to be changed yesterday. People need to know that they have an actual choice in this election. Otherwise, you, Joe Biden, and the DNC will ultimately be responsible for not just one term of the worst effing human being in the world becoming president, but for two terms of the most horrible person to ever be on the face of this planet, getting two terms in the White House. If you do not know your legislator yet, and by the way, a whole freaking lot of them are home right now. If you do not know your legislator yet, you need to get to know your legislator, your House member. And it's real easy to find out. You can plug it into just any old search engine. And if you've never talked to them before, my God, do they want to hear from you right now? Actually, they don't. And that's why they need to hear from you. See, this thing isn't going to wrap up in the fall when we have our election. It definitely won't be done by summer, and it may not even be done by winter, which means that this fall's election needs to be done 100% mail-in ballot. As I've talked about on this microphone in recent shows, both the Republicans and the president himself have said, accidentally, that they really don't want us to have mail-in ballots because that means that they're going to lose, and that is unacceptable. What they're saying now is that there could be massive fraud and that there's no way we're going to be able to get all those ballots out. And yeah, that's wrong. Dead wrong. And the Republicans showed how dead set they are on cheating in this fall's election by telling the people in Wisconsin that they can choose their democracy or they can choose their health. So the governor of Wisconsin decided that they should hold their primary off for a couple of months. He wanted to hold it off until June. And then the state Republicans sued, and it went to the Wisconsin Republican Supreme Court, which it was then, you know, they said, yay, we should have the damn primary. And then it went up to the Supreme Court, Donald Trump's Supreme Court. And they said the same thing. Yeah, you people are going to have to turn out just the same and vote, even though there's a stay-at-home order. For all you still have to turn out to vote. So this is the way the Republicans have decided that they're going to ultimately reduce the number of people who vote in this fall's election because they don't care what you want. And so as a result of being told that, yeah, you have to have this election no matter what, there was only a handful of polling places because a lot of poll workers said, we can't turn out because a lot of them are volunteers and they're older. And they said, it's our health and we're not going to die just so that we can watch Joe Biden win one more state. And they stayed home. Whole lot of voters said, yeah, we understand our votes won't be counted, but we're going to stay home. You know who's not going to stay home this election? All the Trump people. See, because they belong to a cult now, and because they belong to a cult, they're willing to die for their cult leader. So we need to have mail-in ballots for the entire nation for the fall election, no matter how much better things get with this virus. So this is moving through the House right now. The Democrats are on board with this. It is only the Republicans who are spreading misinformation with their constituents, misinformation on right-wing radio, misinformation on Fox News, misinformation on social media, saying that this is going to allow the Mexicans to vote. And you know, well, there's this one lady who I've seen pop up on all these different pages, and she says they're going to be giving ballots to the homeless. And they're going to tell them to vote a certain way. And none of it's true. Absolutely. If you are registered to vote, you get a ballot at your home. The other thing that conservatives are concerned about is they've been throwing people off of the voter rolls to make sure that Donald Trump can win again and to make sure that the states can stay gerrymandered in favor of Republicans. So here in Washington State, we generally get our ballot about 3 to 4 weeks beforehand. If people start realizing the second week of October that they don't have a ballot, it's not like if they find out that they aren't registered on the day of, they find out they say, "Hey, where the hell is my ballot?" You're going to have to register them. And the Republicans are fighting it and fighting it hard because they don't care if Donald Trump actually wins the election. They just want him to win no matter what. So call your legislator. Tell them to get on board with this. It's pretty easy to know who is and is not allowed to vote. You know, let's get them on board with this. Otherwise, this is one more thing that could lead to Donald Trump getting another term if we don't get mail-in ballots for this fall. Because even if we get some hold on this virus, it's not going to be eradicated in the year 2020. So, legislators, call now! I don't live in New York City, and I've never really wished that I did, except for right now, and only for a brief moment. What was spread in the conservative media leading up to this was a whole lot of this isn't real, and it's a hoax, and they're just trying to hurt the president. But what I would like to see somebody do, and you can take this idea if you're listening in the tri-state area, what I would like to see somebody do is make a wanted poster for Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity wanted for what? Negligent homicide. Judge Jeanine Pirro wanted for what? Wanted posters for all of them. What? For negligent homicide. Laura Ingraham, Rush Limbaugh on a wanted poster for what? Negligent homicide. And this is just a handful of the schmucks that lied to their overwhelmingly old, white, ignorant audience and told them to just carry on. And who knows how many people have died because of the information that was spread even by just these four people. And it wasn't just them. You know, Tommy Loren, Mark Levin, Jesse Waters, go on and go on. I mean, there's no shortage of these people that have an audience of millions that lied and cost tons and tons of people their lives. To anyone living in the tri-state area, please feel free to take Melvin's idea. You don't even have to tag me in it or anything. Just make wanted posters for these people because they should all be wanted for murder. So I'm taping the day after Easter right now, so the day after Easter Sunday. And I woke up to the news this morning that the president decided to retweet. So it wasn't his original tweet, but he decided to retweet from somebody that said that Dr. Fauci needs to be fired. Now, there's no shortage of conservatives who believe that Dr. Fauci needs to be fired because because of him, the president has a SAD. Okay, the president cannot reopen the economy, which means that his golf courses and his hotels aren't doing a lot of business right now. The president has a SAD. Let's reopen the economy. Okay. So I feel like it's just any minute now. You know, he fired the entire pandemic response team back in 2018. What do we need them for? We're never going to have a pandemic. Famous last words of a fool. And now I feel like Dr. Fauci and maybe Dr. Birx are next. And maybe he'll just bring in Sean Hannity as the top guy in, you know, on the pandemic. And Sean Hannity just tell him, "I'll just throw everything over," because the idea that's floating around the White House right now, and we only know this because of the leaks that are coming out of the White House, which is super sad. The idea that's being tossed around the White House right now, which, by the way, originated with your pro-life president, was to, quote, "just let this burn through the country." Now, what the hell does that mean? Well, we know that if people get this illness, that if they survive it, they're more immune to it next time. And they have a lot of these really great antibodies that help them stave it off. Their body beat it once and is far more likely to beat it again. If, of course, you know, and it's like, it's almost, and I hate to say it because I hate slogans, but almost the whole "it didn't kill me, so it kind of made me stronger." But not exactly, but you are better off if you have had it. And the idea has been thrown around, perhaps that the people that have had it, that have the antibodies in their blood, maybe a blood transfusion from somebody who survived the illness, you know, would help other people. But what the president is effectively arguing for right now, and he's doing it for money, because his golf courses are suffering, because his hotels are suffering, you know, because he's afraid he's not going to get reelected, is letting it burn through the country so that the economy will start to come back, so that he can get reelected and so that he can start making money again. But what does that mean? It means we have no social distancing measures. It means everything just gets thrown back open. And if people get sick and die, you know what? Let it burn through the entire country with a 2% fatality rate. And that's on a good day. A 2% fatality rate would see 7 million, upwards of 7 million citizens in this country die. And the other thing that's being said throughout the White House is, look, the people that are dying, they're the sick ones. They're the old ones. This is almost like eugenics, what they're saying that we should try. The sick and the old, just let them go. You know, and then all the only people that'll be left are the big, strong, healthy, you know, the people that can still do work. That's all that will be left. Hard work makes you happy. And Dr. Fauci, and the president has said this in the presence of Dr. Fauci says, millions of people sick, millions more dying, because even if you've got a mild case, you can't go into the hospital because the hospital is full of people dying. There are, and we're not even talking about burying people, because there are mass graves in New York right now, not because they got so many people, they can't give them their own plot right now. So until they figure out where everyone's going to go, if they're going to be cremated, if they're going to be buried, if there's going to be arrangements with their family, because all the funeral homes are overwhelmed, you know, more so than even the hospitals, that these people are being put into mass graves, which, and then their bodies will be given to their families in another 6-8 months, because you can't bury them like a regular body, because people can get sick. There's this whole story about people dying. And the president says, no, this is good. Most people that are dying with this disease are dying alone, not surrounded by loved ones, you know, not saying things to the people they love, you know, last words, and not hearing the sweet, sweet voices of their love. None of that. Nope. They're dying alone. They're having to talk to family members, cell phones, that are in Ziploc baggies, like the overwhelming sadness. And the president thinks that this is how it should just play out over the next year or so, with all the people sick and all the dying and all the absolute sadness, like just overwhelming, crushing sadness, just so he continues to make money and gets reelected, because, oh my God, the only thing that matters to him is himself and money. And this played out over a larger scale this weekend, that if the cons had their way, exactly what it would look like. Two examples. In Kansas, several dozen churches decided to go ahead and just have their full church services yesterday, because they said, you know what? Even with a stay-in-place order, that they said the top law enforcement official, not the top scientist, the top law enforcement official, you know, the attorney general of the state said, go ahead and go. And that was their excuse, as they were walking out of church and the reporter standing there asking them with microphones on the end of long sticks. They said, the attorney general is the top law enforcement officer and he said we can go, but he's not a goddamn scientist. But if they had their way, that's the way it would play. And the last thing would be what's referred to as the Liberty Rebellion. You may or may not remember Ammon Bundy. That was the dipstick white supremacist in Oregon that decided that he didn't want to have to pay for his animals to graze on government land. So he decided to hold a standoff and take hostages, or liberty or freedom or whatever effing stupid thing that he says. And then after that whole thing, well, I got to move out of this liberal bastion of Oregon anyway. And he moved to Idaho. where there's lots of other white supremacists around. He can do his white supremacist happy dance all the time. And decided that, hey, we're going to get together on Easter because, and he called it the Liberty Rebellion, he said, because the government telling us that we can't get together is an infringement on religious freedom. Oh, my God. This is real. And if we don't have an election this fall, or if we don't have a fair election, or if we do have an election and have a fair election, but the people are unable to tell the difference between the two old white candidates, then this is exactly what we're going to end up with again for the next 4 years. And if you think that this president will not just kick the doors open on society and have the Republicans in Congress pass a law that says stay-at-home orders are illegal so that he can just watch this economy thrive again as the illness burns its way through the country. If you think that that's not going to happen the day after the election, we will see those doors thrown open. We will see tens of millions of people get it because the conservatives have told us on both a small scale and a large scale that they do not care who gets it and they do not care who dies. And the health insurance in this country, it's not going to change. It's going to stay exactly the same. So it's our job to make Joe Biden look different than the other guy, even though, holy hell, is that ever going to be a challenge? But we can't give up now, not after we've come this far. On the left coast, where we had all kinds of good things in place to make sure that lots of people did not get sick and die, that's the kind of thing that continues. And that's why it is so important that we turn Joe Biden into a good progressive. I've eaten up just about enough of your time. Thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfycpo. Questions, comments, hate mail, just a general statement or inquiry, you can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin signing off, and now that I've woken you up, good morning.